Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Nick Winfrey. He's the executive director, and Gary Albitz, managing director of Imua Onipa'a, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. And we're all here to talk about innovations in workforce development. Hey, guys, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha.
Well, great to have you both on, from calling all the way from Maui, you know. That's it's great to have some of the companies on Maui call in and tell us what's going on over there. And as I mentioned, you know, you both have come together and formed this 501c3 nonprofit. But before we get into Imua Onipa'a, I mean, maybe start with Gary. I mean, what is your background? And then Nick, and then I wanted to kind of understand how you guys got together to actually form this nonprofit. But Gary, what is your background?
Sure. So I spent 50 years in high tech and retired 10 years ago and moved to Maui full time. Mm-hmm. I teach at the University of Hawaii Maui College. I started using my connections with employers that I used to work with to help my students get jobs and figure out the difference between what the students had in their hands and abilities to work to what the employers needed. And as the AI comes on board, things are changing so crazy. We need to adapt a lot more.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think we want to spend some time talking about AI and its kind of like disruption. But Gary, I mean, those 40 or so years, what sector were you in?
I'm high tech. I worked for Oracle, running their IT business. Mm-hmm. Did some other work with data and analytic tools, and with several high tech companies, both either as a customer of a product or internal IT. I bounced between both of those.
Okay.
So I have some experience on both sides.
And then you decided to you know, pick up your bags and move to Maui. That's great.
Yep. We decided that if we're going to move, we might as well move somewhere we wanted to move to. So
okay,
that's where we came here.
Sounds good. And Nick, what's your background? I know. Prior to Imua Onipa'a, you were Maui United Way, right?
Yeah, I was the president of Maui United Way for about 5 years through mm-hmm. through COVID and through the disaster, and decided to take a step back and kind of reevaluate things. It's definitely exhausting, to say the least, sleeping in your office and working 7 days a week, but wouldn't trade it for anything when you live in a community like Maui and the state of Hawaii, where everybody just wants to care for each other. But my background stems also just in a broader nonprofit sense. Mm-hmm, prior mm-hmm. to Maui, in Australia, working for Red Cross, former Marine, broad swath of experience, but fortunate enough that we get to call Maui home and look at how we can support different ways that we can kind of uplift our community across the board. Wide variety of things, and now in the workforce development space.
So, Nick, I mean, you bring a kind of like the experience with running a nonprofit and Aloha, I mean, Maui United Way, I mean, I'm kind of familiar with Aloha United Way. It's really, you know, bringing together a lot of the service provider, social service provider sector, right, on Maui and applying that to the community.
100%. You know, it's, and I also manage kind of the statewide United Way and really work for the continent United Way as well. But it really gave me kind of that 60,000 foot view of Maui Nui, but also, you know, the broader state about who does what when it comes to this social services and mm-hmm. who does what well, where a high return of investment can be made. And it really certainly gives me a leg up on understanding where to build coalitions, connect dots, and try to close those equity gaps.
And I think I remember talking to you because of your kind of data background and doing sort of data analytics, especially around ALICE population?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, when you're in the nonprofit sector, you know, your goal isn't to keep doing the job that you're doing. Your goal is to solve the problems that you're seeing on a day-to-day basis. And you know, closing those loops and improving those systems. So, you know, looking at ALICE data, understanding, you know, the need within the state when it comes to a mortgage, you know, affordable wage, when it comes to food security, when it comes to all of those things that, that people can, you know, live a better balanced life, you know, data is key because there's only so many dollars that are coming into the state. There's only so many hours in the day. There's only so much experience in the state. We've got to really think smartly about how everything is invested. And that's what I'm really excited for, you know, the work that we're doing right now at Emua Onapa'a.
And Gary, you know, what was it that brought you both together? I can see the combination of your expertise and experience in the tech sector and Nick's expertise in the nonprofit sector. So what is it that really kind of brought you together? And maybe you can articulate what's the problem that you're trying to solve?
Sure. After COVID and after the Maui fires, we started up a Mui on Napa'a to assist people in moving forward in their careers. And so that's where we started. I'm a technical person. I've run businesses, but not a nonprofit. I've been friends with Nick for quite a while, and we tried to work together here so I could leverage his expertise. He could leverage mine. It's a very good combination, division of labor.
So during those periods of disaster, you saw the need that obviously community members who were affected had a direct need, but then there were resources that were coming to help perhaps address some of those. Was the idea that Emua Onapa'a could kind of serve as a connector, especially in this area of finding work to bridge that period of time of disaster?
Well, yeah, you nailed it there. It's the bridge between what the students have here and what they learn and other things and what the Fortune 2000 companies need from employees. We put this together to specifically bridge that gap. And it's going to get wider and wider as AI comes into play here. So jumping on that, and we actually partner with about 20 different companies so that we have frontline news about what they're doing and where they're going. We can also advise them about what job descriptions need to be done going forward. So we hear that straight from the horse's mouth, and now we can apply that back to our constituents here so that we get them as much capability as anybody else in the U.S.
Now, I think you guys have a pretty interesting model that if I look at it from a systems sort of diagram, you have input, and the input, you know, is the your source personnel, so source participants that you want to onboard into this equation, and what you have figured out is how to develop them and then output them into a particular job opportunity. And to me, that's a really great sort of not only equation, but you know, system that satisfies, a closed loop system that allows, you know, the source to actually have a destination once it goes through the system. But I do want to have you speak a little bit more eloquently about how that works. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Nick Winfrey, Executive Director, and Gary Albitz, Managing Director of Emua Onapa'a. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Nick Winfrey. He's the executive director and Gary Albitz, managing director of Imua Onipa'a. And we're talking about innovations in workforce development. And Nick, when we talk about this system that enables your ability to onboard people, and I want you both to kind of chime in here. You know, there's a methodology that you have to work to, you know, provide a sufficient amount of source participation. And I think the combination of what it is that you do, Nick, and what Gary does in terms of keeping those relationships with the companies that could potentially hire and place, you know, these folks that are going through your system. So maybe, Nick, describe how you've developed this network or developed this process by which, you know, you are able to identify and onboard folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, Bert. I think, you know, being able to identify and onboard community members is not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm, right.
When you've got a program, you know, that is very fluid, we're not offering a singular certification to do X. It's really a hand holding, walking side by side someone while we build out their CV and resume and experience and passion and, you know, direction and guidance to where we position them longer term for a role. So when we look at recruitment, you know, we open it up to everyone, but we're really honest about, you know, this could be a month, this could be one certification, or this could be several years as we work with people to build out what their dreams are and how they can thrive here in the state of Hawaii. So I think it's a trial and error, you know, as we've been in operations for shucks, close to 2 years now, you know, we are growing and learning more and more, and we no longer call them cohorts because it's an ongoing thing. So we call them community members coming in.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you about the cohort, but now you've sort of pivoted in terms of what it is that you refer to them as now community members. I mean, so describe how it is that you've helped to identify who can be a part of this program.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So what we do is, in my 50 years, I had the fortunate experience of working with some of the top IT and technical people around the world. And I got a lot of mentorship and other things. I was able also to hire and fire a whole bunch of people in that course, so in managed departments. So basically, in boarding something is starting with a career plan for them and understanding their abilities and their capabilities and their interests and their aptitudes, their education. We can figure out what kind of career path they might want to go for, at least initially.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, now we get them on a training class. We engage a couple of employers to say, hey, I've got a potential candidate who's going to start working through our program. What do you want them to really learn so that they're employable when we've started working with them? So it's the process of really targeting initially a direction and a journey for them. And that can involve multiple different things and multiple different courses and training and certifications. We just need to figure out what they need to do and how they need to get there to do some jobs. And the biggest thing I see here is that there's not a lot of role models for some of the major jobs in IT and in other technical areas. So we're targeting some of the positions that the employers tell me, the Fortune 2000 employers tell me they can't find employees for. So quality assurance engineers, sales engineers, there's a whole bunch of things that isn't normal jobs here in Hawaii. Getting them targeted for those specific things and getting them on the path is what our process is.
So Gary, what you're describing sounds kind of like career mentoring, and
yes,
it sounds pretty customizable for each individual. right?
It has to be, yes.
And so how do you divide your time up with, and I'll get back to Nick, you know, about the community and how you've sort of built this cohort. But Gary, how does your time get divvied up amongst everybody that's part of the program?
I initially interview everyone, and we work them through a two-hour process of understanding their career objectives and goals and path. And then we work with mentors and other folks. We're actually putting together a big mentorship with several service organizations like the Rotary Club and IEEE and ACM. These folks have experienced individuals in different careers and different paths that we can now connect people up with after I do the initial work.
Mm-hmm.
And we leverage. And again, we don't let anybody go. It's sort of a hand-holding process through the whole thing. So they get a mentor for life.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nick, you know, I'm going to still refer to them as cohorts because, you know, it's sort of easier for me to understand that there's a perhaps an application, there's a program period of time, you know, there's things that people need to pay attention to actually be qualified to be a part of this, right? So maybe describe what that cohort looks like, and then you can sort of evolve it into the community, but there's got to be some let's say not rails, but you know, some container for who it is that you want to be a part of this initial group of people. Or maybe I'm not thinking it correctly. Maybe it's not necessarily an initial group of people. Maybe it's just a constant flow of people.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it right there, Bert. It's a constant flow of people. And I think, you know, as we were initially building out the programs, you have a focal point, right? You have your field of fire that you have to focus on, and that's mid-career. How do we look at building mid-career individuals from, you know, the $60,000 a year to the $100,000 plus, that,
mm-hmm,
you know, that
mm-hmm.
mortgage affordable wage here? What we've also learned through this process is it's a full system here from high school to mid-career to retirement that we can leverage to support this you know, donut of career development. So I think, you know, the guardrails that we look at really is we want people that have passion, that want to stay here or want to come back here. We want people that understand that this isn't just a, hey, let me dial it in one day a week or, you know, an hour a month. This is a long process to be able to really navigate and level up in careers. So for me, that's really the key piece is who has the commitment and dedication to really step into a program that doesn't necessarily have those boundaries and be flexible to understand that, you know, once you understand what a sales engineer is, to get there, right? Leveraging the experience that someone has, but also building out everything from LinkedIn, you know, profiles to resumes to paid experience, you know, that could take a year to where, you know, you can get placed in a much higher paying job.
Well, you know, I do want to hear about how these jobs that are being perhaps potentially filled can still enable a person in Maui County or in Hawaii to stay in Hawaii. So I'm going to give that over to Gary, but we're going to hold that thought for just a second. We'll be right back in a short break to continue our conversation with Nick Winfrey. He's the executive director, and Gary Albitz, the managing director of Imua Onipa'a. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Nick Winfrey, executive director, and Gary Albitz, managing director of Imua Onipa'a. And of course, we're here about talking about workforce development. And Gary, you know, Nick is describing the folks that are coming into the program, and you described nicely how some of the companies that you're working with are looking for kind of key employees to hire. Now, a lot of them would probably want to have them hired into the where the headquarters might be. How do you are you already priming those employers for workers that are going to be working remotely? Because I gotta think that it would defeat your purpose for getting everybody educated and skilled to then leave Hawaii, right? That's not the design of the program.
Well, correct. And great question, Bert. The key here is here in Maui and in Molokai and Lanai, connections with major employers is fairly difficult and challenging for the employers.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things. Number one, all the employers, number one item that they want is experience. And number two and three are critical thinking and ability to run a task without a lot of major supervision.
Mm-hmm.
So those are skills that we actually are working on developing with the local folks here. And so in some cases, we actually hire them into a mo'onapa'a to work with me on contracts and other engagements that I do so that they can be learning.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're paying them, they're actually getting paid experience. So now we turn them over to the employer saying, hey, they've got a year's worth of experience implementing Salesforce or a year's worth of experience running an IT desk. Using ServiceNow. Now, the question is the location.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody who leaves a university of any sort has to go somewhere where the employment is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step. Now, in our career plan, it might be a plan that you go away for a year or two, and then you plan to come back. If you have a good career management, you get promoted. You get management skills, you get some experience, and now that's something you can bring back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same thing for people who are already on the mainland or the continent and they want to come back. They've got their salaries, they've got the experience. Now they bring back something capable. So the biggest thing that we got to work with is, number one, getting the candidates the experience, and number two, lowering the risk for major employers to invest in Maui and Maui County, Molokai and Lanai,
mm-hmm.
And also the rest of the state. So the key, you know, we're focused with that main hub. But the idea is you may need to go away for a while, but your plan is to come back after you've gotten X amount. And now you've accomplished a mortgage qualifying salary. And you can come back and buy a house here,
mm-hmm,
and live and have your kids go to school. So it's a whole process.
Well, no, it sounds very, very exciting, and I applaud you for putting this all together. Now, when you say you actually hire them, pay them, and have them work on, let's say, a project that you are undertaking, are you looking at grant funding that, or are you looking at that as being sort of your capital investment into the nonprofit?
Well, we've been mostly grant funded so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get a grant from the Hawaii Pacific Foundation for our initial work to get started. And the key there is if we get revenue with a contract or a project, then I can afford to pay somebody through that process or bring them onto that team. And we are looking to create what we call strike teams, tiger teams, to go in and help businesses here in Maui,
mm-hmm.
And in the state. It could be pro bono in some cases, and it could be paid, so a paid contract. So it's either contracts or grants or other kinds of funds that we're looking to pull in.
Great, great. And Nick, I do want to give you a chance to talk about how AI is disrupting the work kind of environment and how you envision some of the companies that potentially would hire the folks coming out of Imua-Onipa'a. But how does sort of like this random variable called AI change that equation?
Well, if I had a magic eight ball on my desk, I would certainly use it, Bert. I think it's one of those things that everyone can throw darts in the dark and hope that, you know, one lands on the board. But the approach that we're taking really is, you know, the productivity that's going to take place and the increase in productivity is really the value add. And the opportunity that we see right now is, how do we prepare individuals that maybe don't have a college degree or have a college degree or have work experience or don't have work experience? Because a lot of those things won't really matter moving into the future. I think what will matter is how AI is leveraged and utilized within a company, both from an employer standpoint and an employee standpoint. So I think really a quick understanding, and we're actually going to be having an AI symposium in partnership with the Workforce Development and DBET and PCAT and Chamber of Commerce and HEC and all of those individuals on June 25th, is for companies to start preparing. You're seeing, you know, on the continent, all of these massive layoffs and then hire backs. You know, I think here locally, as an employer, for example, if I put on my employer glasses, oh my goodness, I can cut these four customer service roles and just turn on some AI agents. Okay, well, that might be the case, but you're still going to need somebody to manage those AI agents and have a human in the loop and make sure that there's governance set up and your liability is squared away and everything's being validated. So really, my hope is that county has a 30% open headcount. Well, maybe we can consolidate those 30% jobs utilizing AI into, you know, half the number of jobs, increase the salaries, and train people to take on those roles. You know, we do have an underemployment, you know, issue here at times, and a lot of them don't pay that thriving wage. So my hope is that AI can hopefully consolidate some of those roles into higher paying wages if we train employees in the right way. And that's the hope.
And Nick,
and,
I think...
And if I can add on to that real quick.
Sure, Gary.
The key is there's going to be a lot of jobs that aren't, the people don't know about yet in AI. One of them is doing testing of AI systems and doing governance and other elements that are going to be new jobs. So we're working with these employers saying, hey, do you have somebody who can build a trusted data environment for yourself? If not, I have a candidate for you, and he's been trained on that, or she's been trained on that. And the key is we're targeting future jobs that really aren't on the job boards these days.
Well, you know, Gary, I think you mentioned it earlier that one of the things that you want to also impart on any of the folks coming through your system is critical thinking. So I think that's really important. Now, Gary, where can people find out more about Imua Onipa'a?
Number one, they can go to our website, and I'll spell it out for you, imuaonipaa.org, or connect with me on LinkedIn.
Sounds good. I'll put that up on our show notes. Nick Winfrey, Executive Director, and Gary Albitz, he's the Managing Director of Imua Onipa'a. And I really, really thank you guys for joining me today. So much information. I think we could have spent another half hour, but thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for joining us. Hosting us. Thanks for.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about Aloha Aina and Makali'i metrics. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training.